Let us begin. Okay, here we go. We are up to today. Today we're going to discuss the topic of, if I ever go out, just let me holler. If I ever go out, holler, let me know I'm going out. Today, we are learning today, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Levavim. Okay, I think it's like Shir number 18, 19. You've gone through, I think, I'm not sure, 16, 17, whatever it is. We're up to now Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Levavim. Now, in the Art Scroll Siddur, here's where we have a major difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. I have here in front of me two Siddurim. I have an Ashkenaz Siddur and I have a Sfarad Siddur. In the Ashkenaz Siddur, in the Art Scroll, it has big letters on the top of the page, Pesukei Dezimra L'chol. And then begins Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis L'dav. According to Nusach Ashkenaz, Pesukei Dezimra begins with Mizmor Shir. That's not so simple. And that was a pretty bold step, I think, on behalf of Art School. I have no doubt in my mind they knew exactly what they're doing. This was a calculated decision to do this. But I believe this was controversial, what they did, by putting Pesukei Dezimra on the top of the page and indicating that Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'dav is part of Pesukei Dezimra. It's quite a statement. That's quite a statement for them to do that. In Nusach Sfarad, I'm not a big guy in Nusach Sfarad. I doubt my entire life Nusach Ashkenaz. So I don't really know that much about Nusach Sfarad. But in Nusach Sfarad, the only thing I know about Nusach Sfarad, I know the Shemoneh Esrei. Because when I was in Ovo, my father and my mother, so then I would daven often in places where they daven Nusach Sfarad. And not Shachas. Shachas was Ashkenaz, but Mincha and Myers, I got to learn the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei of Sfarad, but I never learned the Shachas. The Seder of Shachas always confused me, okay? I'm a real Litvak Nusach Sfarad. But in Nusach Sfarad, in the Art School Sidur, it begins Pesukei Dezimra L'chol, and it begins with Chodu. Everyone knows that, even I know that. Pesukei Dezimra begins with Chodu. And then you say Chodu, and then you say, after you finish Chodu, you finish and then you say, and then you say some psukim, Hashemelech, Hashemelech, Hoshienu, Lamatseach, Megillat Mashiach, and then you begin Baruch Sha'amar. So we have over here a difference of opinion as to where to put Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. Does Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David go before Baruch Sha'amar? Or does Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David go after Hoidu? After Hoidu, which is also before Baruch Sha'amar. Okay, so in both places, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, whether it's Ashkenaz or Sfarad, is before Baruch Sha'amar. But in Sfarad, Pesukei Dezimra starts with Chodu, and in Nusach Ashkenaz, it starts either with Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, or it starts with Baruch Sha'amar. Mizmor Shir is an introduction. What is going on? What is this all about? All right, so let's discuss a couple of things. First of all, we have to go slow. What does it say? What are the words? What exactly is the theme of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'dav? The question I just asked you, Vince, this is Ashkenaz Sfarad, maybe we'll get back to the end of the Shir. We'll have to get there in a circuitous route, a circuitous route to get to that, answer that question. But let's first go through some of the basics. What does it say in this Mizmor? Well, the first pasuk is pretty straightforward. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. A Mizmor and a Shir, two different types of expressions of song for the Chanukah. Chanukah means for the inauguration of the Bayis, the Beis Hamikdash L'David. And then that's the first pasuk, and everything else seems to be totally not related to that topic. I remember Hashem, I praise you, ki dili, son, you have lifted me up. You did not allow my enemies to rejoice over me. David Hamelech had many enemies. David Hamelech had enemies that did not, they felt he was illegitimate. He was a descendant of Rusam Ovi Eloyavi Amoni Umoavi Bikahal Hashem. He was illegitimate. They said that he was a mamzer. There's a mice in the Gemara, there's a medrash that his father separated himself from his mother, from his wife. And he was planning to live with a shifcha because the whole story wanted to metaher his zera. And then the shifcha was loyal, was faithful to the wife. And she told the wife what's going to happen. And there was a body swap. And instead of the Shifcha coming and being together with Yishai, the wife was with Yishai. And he never knew. Yishai never knew that he lived with his wife when he really thought that he was living with a Shifcha. And then all of a sudden there was a report that Yishai's wife was pregnant. And Yishai said, "That's impossible. I have not lived with my wife all this time. How is it possible that she's pregnant? I never gave her a divorce. And that means that the child that she's carrying is a mamzer." Who was born from that? David. David, Yishai suspected, as well as the entire family, that David was a mamzer. Because Yishai separated himself from his wife. He thought that he was living with his shifcha. And the shifcha was loyal to her mistress. And she told her what's happening and she swapped. And it was really Yishai living with his wife now with the Shifcha. And that's how she got pregnant. It was legitimate. But Yishai and the family did not know that. And that's why David was suspected being a mamzer. So David had a lot of things against him. Number one, they thought he was a mamzer. Number two, David was the child of a family from Moab. Number three, David sinned with Bathsheba. David ordered that Uriah Hachiti be sent to the front lines, that he should die. So that the cover up, it was a cover up. You know, this is a whole big story. What's going on over here? Was Bathsheba an Ishes Ish? How can a king, how can we accept him to as the Melech of Klal Yisrael person that lived with an Ishes Ish? Bathsheba, she was the wife of Uriah Hachiti. So as you can imagine, David HaMelech had a lot of enemies. A lot of people on the campaign were trying to delegitimize his role as Melech because of all these problems. And he died with a bad reputation. David HaMelech, when he died, even though he was the king for 40 years, not everyone was a follower. They always tell you about the Bahadur Elif Alfa Abdullah's obsessed, what's Trump's approval rating, the approval rating of the president, of the sitting president. Does it ever go higher than 40%? 40, I mean, forget about Trump, any president. That this is kachi darka shaloylam. You can't, no one loves everyone. If you have 40% of the country that likes you, that's pretty good. That's, in fact, that's remarkable. I don't know what it was to other presidents, but I don't think any president had a very good popularity when they were, and who says these numbers are accurate anyway? But they're always enemies, detractors, troublemakers, and they make a lot of trouble. Empty cans make a lot of noise. And David certainly had a lot of those empty cans making a lot of noise. And when was David finally recognized by the entire Klal Yisrael as legitimate? When his son, after his death, when his son Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, he built the Beis HaMikdash, and they brought in the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The doors did not want to open. And right away, all of David's detractors who are still alive were rejoicing. See, we told you so. And if David is illegitimate, then his son Shlomo is illegitimate. And then they sang, then they said, they did the whole story in the Gemara until finally.
Oh, you wanted me to mail it to you. How do I do it?
Just mail it to
David. And then Bavur David Abdecha, and then suddenly the doors opened up and the enemies of David, their faces turned black like the bottom of a pot. At that moment in time, Shlomo HaMelech took out his article sitter in his pocket. He opened up all the way to the back where it says Tehillim, and he turned to Mizmor Lamed and he read this Mizmor. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayi Sidon. This was the Mizmor that David himself composed. David composed this mizmor pi ruach hakodesh. Aramimcha Hashem, I praise you, Hashem. Ki dili son, you have lifted me up below simachka. You did not allow oivayli my enemies to rejoice over me. David Hamelech, he said this pasuk in the context of other situations that he was dealing with where he had enemies. But al pi ruach hakodesh, it was also alluding to the day will come when Hashem will make it known that David is indeed legitimate, and his enemies will be put to shame. Their faces will turn black and shame like the bottom of a pot. And Shlomo HaMelech took out this Tehillim, and he read this Mizmor, which primarily, not because of what it goes on to say, all the other ideas, but primarily because it says over here, Arimimcha Hashem ki bilbi sami v'losi machtor oivayim. Not allow my enemies to rejoice. David HaMelech's legitimacy has now been acknowledged, has been established. He has a 100% approval rating. In hindsight, 2020, everyone acknowledges that he was legitimate. He's not a mamzer. There's no problem of Moav or Moavi. It only applies to a Moav, but not from a Moavi, from a woman. And David was not nichshol with Basheva, Kama Oimer, David Chota, Eine El Matoyeh. All of those Mamari Chazah all come into play, which is beyond many of us to fully comprehend the depth of these things. And it was acknowledged, and now David's day was established. So that, but there are more psukim, which seemingly have nothing to do with anything else. You're right. But that's the nature of Tehillim. You have a Mizmar, and there can be one pasuk in the Mizmar that captures the theme, the essence of what we want. It's kedai to say the entire Mizmar, which can be 99% irrelevant, in order to read the one pasuk in the Mizmar that captures the moment. In life, you know, you go through a whole day, one day is over, you work, you get early in the morning, you work your hair off, a workaholic, you go from one thing to the next, you're tossed around like you're a towel in a washing machine. You go from one thing to the next, and then when the day is over, you say to yourself, what happened today? Where did the whole day go? Where did all the time go? What do I accomplish today? Was there one thing, and you have to wrap your brains out, was there one thing during the day that made the day worth living? And if you search hard enough, first of all, every moment is worth living, that we know, but it's not obvious to us. But Hashem did all this chesed, and if you're lying in your bed after a long, tiring day of work, and you think you review the entire sequence of events from the beginning to the end, I guarantee you there will be a moment in the day that it will be obvious to you it was kedai the whole day for that moment. It was a special moment that made a big difference. And I told you, the truth is every moment makes a difference. We unfortunately don't see it. But Hashem is good to us that he does allow us to see little things here and there. And in a day, there's always one moment. That's a very big Musa Haskell from this Moshir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. Shlomo HaMelech said the entire Mizmah because of one pasuk. V'lo simachta, not even the whole pasuk. V'lo simachta oyvai oyvai. Look at that. When I said the pasuk, Ba'avur David Avdecha, Al Toshev Pinei Mishifecha, open up the doors, allow the Aron HaKodesh to enter in the Zuchus of my father David, and the doors opened up, and now the enemies of David were finally silenced. Shlomo HaMelech says a whole mizmah. You can't be mafsik. You have to say the entire thing, because in this mizmah there are four words. That's the Musa Haskell for us. You go through the whole day, there's going to be a moment that makes the entire day worth it. Now, with that idea, there's something incredibly powerful here that is said by many of the commentators, the same idea, and that is, we have to remember, the Gemara says that the Psukei Dezimra, all are the words of David. Every single part of Psukei Dezimra must be words of David. And that is why Kriyas Yamsuf is not part of Psukei Dezimra. Because Kriyas Yamsuf is not the Shiros of David. It's Moshe. We have a very big problem with Hoidu. There are some parts of Hoidu that are not necessarily from David. Most of it is from Tehillim. But there are, at the end of Hoidu, you come to Mishlei, Divrei Hayamim. It's problematic. Psuge de Zimra, the Ikur Psuge de Zimra are the Shiros and the Sishrochos of David Hamelch. When you sit down to say Psuge de Zimra, you have to ask yourself a question. Why should I be saying Psuge de Zimra? Maybe we should say, we should read poems from Bialik. Okay, we should read who knows what. Just go to the library, go online, find some modern day poetry, which many people will tell you is very well. Let's say Hatikva every morning. Let's say from Bialik. Let's say from who knows who. Why David? Why is David any more legitimate than anyone else? That's the purpose of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis for David. Before we enter into Psuke de Zimra, where we are required to recite the Shirois and the Sishpochas from the most legitimate Jew in Klal Yisrael, the Melech Yisrael, who sang to Hashem the ultimate Tehillos to Hashem, the first thing we do is we establish the authenticity, the legitimacy, the nobility, the Malchus, the authority of the man, David HaMelech. How do we acknowledge that this man that we're going to say his psalms is legitimate? We do exactly what Shlomo HaMelech did. We recall the Maisa Shehoya. They built the Beis HaMikdash, and the doors were locked, and they brought in the Aron, and miraculously the doors were locked shut. They're not opening up for nobody. Nothing Shlomo HaMelech can possibly say can convince those doors to open up until Shlomo says the Avur David Avich. And then the doors, like Star Trek, right? The doors opened up, and the Aron went in, and now David, he is in business. We do exactly the same thing. The purpose of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis for David. Before we say the Shiros and the Sishpachas, we have to establish the legitimacy of David HaMelech, just like Shlomo HaMelech.
Excuse me, it's just interesting. Rav Yoshe Ber said you're not allowed to say it before Baruch Shema.
Okay, Rav Yoshe Ber is...
That was his shita, you don't say
okay, it. Like this is a... Obviously, Nusach Sfar does not say. Nusach Sfar says it in the middle of Psuke de Zimra after Hodu. You first say Hodu.
He said that you're not allowed to say Hodu before Baruch Shem also for the same reason.
Okay, well, Hodu, well, that even Nusach Sfar does. Nusach Sfar does say Hodu.
I know, he says you're not allowed. He said you have to make the bracha before you eat. You have to say Baruch Shema to give you allowance to say Shiros.
And Yoshe Ber had a lot of his Gadol Hadar, the undisputed Gadol Hadar, my circles, and he has a lot of Chidushim LaHalacha, which we don't follow. Okay, that's just the way it is. Look, I always like to say that if the Vilna Goyen, who is greater than the Vilna Goyen? If the Vilna Goyen was amongst us, you wouldn't even think that he's Orthodox. And how can I say this should be right? Go read the Maaser Rav and look at his Hanhogos. His Hanhogos, his Nihogim, his Halacha. We don't follow any of this. None of this. This is not the way we conduct ourselves. But the Gra was a genius of geniuses. He was Yer Emkashal Halacha. And this is what he did. He knew what he was doing. We rely upon other opinions who are not able to make such depth, and that's also legitimate. All right, let's go further. Now, that's one idea. Now, I want to tell you another idea from Rav David Cohn, Shlita, the Rav of here in Coney Island, Gvul Yavetz, Goyin Shebegoyinim, doesn't know my introduction. He is like 11 Sefarim on Tefillah called Masas Kapai. These Sefarim are, each one is a masterpiece. You don't need my Haskama, obviously. Genius of geniuses, and he says something over here that is awesome, his own chiddush. All the summer, incredible chiddush. He says, goes to the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, we have a principle called Maschil Bignus Umesayim Beshach. There's no day in the year when we praise Hashem like Pesach. Pesach, that's the day. I mean, that's it. That's what it's all about. Hallel. We say Hallel. And part of the praising of Hashem, of recounting our history, is there's a process. The process is maschil gnus. Mitchila oiv de avoy de zara hoy avoseinu. Or we start out with arami or the ravi. And or what else? What other things is we start in the Haggadah with gnus maschil gnus. The ultimate praise of Hashem is not to walk into the room and to say, you're great, you're awesome. That's very nice, but it's a much higher madriga when you go through a process. You first relate, we were lowlifes, we were nothing, and look what you did for us, Hashem. You built us up. You encouraged us, you sent Moshe Rabbeinu, you mechazik us, we went to one madrega, to another madrega, we finally were able to leave Egypt, and then you took us in the desert, you built us up even more, you gave us the Torah, and then you brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and we built the Beis HaMikdash, and we went higher and higher and higher, we matured, and we ultimately praise Hashem with the ultimate Hashem, Nashir Chodesh HaLukah. As we travel through time, our sophistication increases, our maturity increases, our awareness of your presence increases, and when we'll have the Gula Shalema, it's going to reach the climax, the total sum of everything that you have done for us. That's sophisticated. That's what we do on Pesach. Maschil bignus umesayim b'shach. Now, why don't we do that every single morning? If the whole purpose of saying Psukei v'zimur is to give Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so don't you think that we should basically do that process every single morning? And the answer is you can't, because too much. Morris says that, so it has to be different. There's a time for everything. Okay, Morris says if someone that says the whole hal every single day, he's a mechorah from a gadif. It's blasphemy. There has to be a time and place for everything. That is why in our pesuk of the Zimra, it's all praise. There's no gnos. It's pure praise. The halalukas and the ashrim and the sayichavoy and the same mizvah. Say is kula shavach. However, Chazal, those who were misaki mismar shir chanukah sabayis l'gadol, wanted us to have a token of not to forget what the ultimate shavach is. Now that we're beginning to say pesukim v'zimra, which Chazal tell us is giving over the shavach, the praise of the Ribono Shel Olam. So we have to have a token fulfillment of what it means to give praise to Hashem. Where do we have that token fulfillment? Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'God. Why? After that pasuk, every single pasuk is an example of Maschil Bignus Umesayim B'Shach. Look at the pesukim. Aramim Hashem Ki Dili Soni. You lifted me out of the dumps. I was all the way on the bottom and you picked me up. I cried out to you, I was sick, and look what you did to me. You healed me. Hashem ha'lisa min shol nafshi. I was in a grave. They already wrote me off. They signed my death certificate. And look at that. I came back to life from the grave. I was in a massive of ginnos, and you brought the chisani miyar divar. You were angry at us for good reason because of the Eros, but you raised us up, you gave us life. Even if we were crying, you were in a matzav of tsar, I said in my serenity that I'll never move. That's arrogance. That's Hashem Beretzonu. Yeah, look what you did, Hashem. Even though I was foolish, I was lonely. I said, there's no hope for me. Look what you did, Hashem. You raised me up to a mighty mountain. When you hid yourself, I was afraid. And then he goes on to express this idea. Last pasuk as well. You transformed my mourning into dancing. You took off my sackcloth, you girded me with joy. The theme of this mizmar is 100% in almost every pasuk. Maschil bignus umesayim b'shevach. This is what Chazal say you must do on Pesach. When we give Shevach to Hashem on Pesach for the Exodus, it's all in the framework of Maschil Bignos u'Mesayim B'Shrach. And that's exactly what we're doing here in Mizmor Shel Chanukah Sabayis L'David. So David Cohen says that is why we say this Mizmor, because even though technically we're not allowed to elaborate on Maschil Bignos u'Mesayim B'Shrach, but we still need a token fulfillment of this principle. And here we give it to us in a teeny little pill, a little bit, not to forget what is the real Maschil Bignos u'Mesayim B'Shrach. Okay, now let's go to another idea of Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis L'David. This is another idea. This idea is Chazal say Kol HaKoveya Mokom, a short idea, very short, simple idea. Kol HaKoveya Mokom L'Tfilosoi HaKadosh Baruch Elokei Avraham Yehei Be'ezra. There's a principle in davening. This is very deep. It's not a very deep principle. Teach the children, they teach to them, like, you know, they teach on a very low level. But it's a very deep principle that when a person davens, you have to be koveya amokon. You can't just say, one day tell children. They tell children, when you go to shul, you have a mokon kavua, you have assigned seats. Assigned seats. You have to sit 6 feet away from the guy next to you. Okay, assigned seats. Everyone gets an assigned seat. A number, you go to shul, a big chance, you shul, a pews on the pews. They drill into the seat your name and your number. I go to a certain shul like once a year, and in the pew, I sit on the pew, and the pew that I sit down, right behind me is a male, and the next seat is a female. So this pew obviously came from an old shul where they had men and women sitting next to each other, and they never took off the name tags from the people who purchased the spot on the pews. They sat next seating, obviously. But you have an assigned seat. And you're there for tomorrow, when you come to shul tomorrow, don't sit in someone else's seat. You have to sit in your seat. Why? So they tell children because you have more kavana. More kavana. If you have a set makom and you do every single day, it's a psychological technique which gets you to have more kavana. I don't think it works for me anymore. Of having more kavana by sitting in the same seat. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Who am I to say? Obviously, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more depth in that statement. You just don't daven in a wild location. When a person davens, you have to be koveya mokri. I leave it to your imagination what that means. It means, obviously, you have to be settled. You have to be settled. You have to appreciate your environment. You have to know what you need. If you're in a mokom, you know, you go to a shul, right away, what are they lacking? Well, I think it's time for new air conditioning. Or I think the time has come where they need a paint job. Or I think they should buy some new tables or some new chairs or a new this and new that. Every place, every mokom is a situation. And you look at the environment and you have to deal with what you got. And you got to work to make it better, or whatever the story is. In life, when you come to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to know what you're dealing with. What are my needs? Every person at every stage in their life has a different set of needs. Some people need to get married. Some people need to marry off their children. Some people are looking to marry off their grandchildren. And some people are looking for parnasa. Some people are looking for a new job. Some people are looking for for refuah, for health. Every stage of your life, a person has to be koveya mokom. Koveya mokom doesn't just mean sit in the same seat, in your assigned seat. It means a lot more than that. We come to davening. Everything we've done so far in davening is all about davening. You make brachas. Where do you make the brachas? At home. You can say the brachas hashachar at home. In fact, that's the ideal place to make the brachas. I don't know if it's ideal today. I don't think it's advised to make brachas at home today. I think you'll probably be much better chance of saying the brachas properly if you come to shul and say all the brachas in one shot. At least for me, I gave up on saying the brachas at home a long time ago. I tried to say nothing at home, zero. Not even to say netilas yadayim, mashiyotzar, nothing. Wake up in the morning, I'm a zombie. a zombie until my until I get I turn on, drink two cups of coffee, and then who knows what to turn on your head, and you come to shul, then you sit down, and then you open up the siddur. You start with moda ani. I started this. I come to shul. I start the siddur. I start in shul with moda ani. Okay, that's not the right thing to do. I'm supposed to say moda ani when I wake up in the morning, but I'm so spaced out, like many people, even that I can't concentrate until I'm settled. So what am I trying to bring out? When you now come to Pesukei de Zimra, you're now coming, you're really beginning to daven. This is the haschola of daven. Everything until now was just an introduction. Birchas HaShachar, to praise Hashem for waking up, for all of, you have everything you need, you wash your hands, you go to the Beis HaKisei. Now you finally walk into shul. Okay.
That's my thing.
It's now time to get serious. Okay, well, sorry. What you need to get serious. What's the first ingredient of davening? Is a mokon. To be koiveya. A mokon, with all of whatever it means. I try to elaborate a little bit, and I leave it to your imagination. It means a lot of very deep things. Because they are mokon. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid is the mizmor of establishing a mokon. David HaMelech said this mizmor in preparation for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Chanukas Habayis. Hashem gave, David HaMelech received, so what was called the Megillas Beis HaMikdash. There was a blueprint. It was given, it was transmitted all the way down from Moshe Rabbeinu what the Beis HaMikdash would look like. And David HaMelech had in his hands, and he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And it was told, you cannot, Hashem said, you cannot because there's blood on your hands. Your son Shlomo will build it. But David laid the foundation, and David collected the money, and David purchased all of the raw materials. And David, you know what else he did? He even actually said the mizmor. He said the mizmor that would be said when they inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis. What is the Beis HaMikdash? Ki Beisi Beis Tefilosi. It is the ultimate mokoyim. It is the ultimate place where Hashem listens to tefillah. It is the ultimate fulfillment of koiveya mokoim litfilosoi. Kol ha koiveya mokoim litfilosoi. Elokei Avraham yeheloi be'ezroi. Hashem will be at your aid. You just can't walk into any shul off the street, walk and say it's daven in the street. There's no such thing as davening in porch, yon, in the backyard, me and one day over here, one day go to this driveway, one day the car's in the driveway, so we can't daven here, it's in the way. So we have to go to this driveway. This driveway, there's no awning, so it's raining and I'm cold. So we go to the roof. When we go to the roof, the next door neighbor sees me and they call the police. So we go to shul. You go to shul, the guy next to me is going to sneeze and he's going to kill me. So what do? Yeah, you just walk in the streets and you say davening bal peh. That's not the way it goes. The way you daven is called hakoyzeya mokoyim litfilosa. You need a mokoyim. Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid is the haschola of davening, of being koiveya amokoyim, the acknowledgement, the awareness, this is my mokoyim, my mikdosh me'at. You walk into shul, you say this before you start davening, I acknowledge, I mean koiveya amokoyim l'tfilosai, this is the Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid, here I am, and now we can continue to daven. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid. The truth is, I have a very good, a lot of sermon tefillah here, and it's a very, very difficult task to find the source of saying Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid. The truth is, it doesn't say anywhere. That a person should say Mizmor Shir Chanukas. The only place where it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the earlier sources, to say Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid is on Chanukah. Chanukah, that's the only time. Other than Chanukah, I challenge you to find any early source to say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabah Yisladot. On Chanukah, at the end of davening, it says in Shulchan Aruch that when you say the Yoyim, after you say the Yoyim, you say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabah Yisladot, and that's it. Is today Chanukah? Today isn't Chanukah, so why are you saying Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabah Yisladot? What's going on over here? It's not Chanukah.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
The article brings down from Tikkun Tefillah that they said this mizmor every morning at the Beis HaMikdash. I have no idea.
They said this mizmor every morning in the Beis HaMikdash?
It was sung to inaugurate the morning temple service and thus is an appropriate prelude to the prayers that take place of that service.
Okay. I don't know. Obviously.
I don't know what that is. What is Tikkun Tefillah? Is that a sefer? I guess
so. Sefer, yes. Okay, we have to look at the source, but it's not a typical thing that we find in the typical Seder HaTfilah. It's been added, appended. Obviously, they found the makar. Okay, I don't know the answer. I just want to make the following suggestion, following the insight. When we talk about Chanukah, I mean, there are many different elements. This is very relevant because this week is Chanukah. This was Shabbos. We will be laning B'Haloscha. The first Aliyah is all about the Menorah. The Menorah is Chanukah. The Haftorah for Parshas B'Haloscha is the same Haftorah that we lane on Chanukah. Okay? The Haftorah of Chanukah is the exact same Haftorah that we lane this coming Shabbos. So anyone, about Kriya, who lanes from Klap, he has an easy time because supposedly he laned already not so long ago, Chanukah, he laned this Haftarah. So, let's talk about Chanukah for a moment. What was the Chanukah miracle? What was the Chanukah miracle? The Chanukah miracle was that there was only enough oil to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. It lasted longer than it should. Wow, that's a miracle. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. It's a miracle. Wow, Chanukah. We have a celebration. We have good food. We have donuts. We have this multi-million-dollar industry of selling Chanukiyas, taking trips in Eretz Yisrael and Chinese auctions. It turned into an industry because the miracle happened that the candles lit. The 8 days, unbelievable. Guess what? This miracle happened every single day. Bizman, she Yisrael Oisim with Senshal Makaim, even though we did not have the all eight candles, there were seven candles. Of course, obviously. The real Mahavi, they were putting enough oil for him to go from the night to the morning. And guess what? It did not run out. It lasted only
one. Rabbi Levine, we can't hear you.
Low,
too low.
You sound like you're in the distance.
I'm actually very close. Okay, we're almost finished. Almost finished.
Maybe you're not in your.
You're good now.
Okay, let's finish up this idea. Okay, we only have 3 minutes. Let's finish up this idea. Hanukkah was a miracle that happened every single day. They put enough oil in there for it to last from the night.
No, not good. It's not good again.
One second.
You need a Malcolm Kavua.
All right, how is it now? Better now?
Very high pitch.
Very high pitch. All right, let's just finish up. We have only 1 minute. I'll do the best I can in this 1 minute.
Now we can't hear you at all.
Now, how about now?
Very, very, very low. Yeah. Okay.
Every single day it happens. So why don't we celebrate? because it was different. When we recite this or Shir Chanukah Sabayis Ladani, the only time you're supposed to say this is at Chanukah. The truth is, Chanukah is every single day. Chanukah does happen when it says in Shulchan Aruch that Chanukah is saying this or Shir Chanukah Sabayis Ladani, because when the miracle happened and they rebuilt the Mizbeach, let's take a step back. What does the Mizbeach have to do with the environment? What is the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach, they rebuilt the Mizbeach on Chanukah. It's called Oz Hignor B'Shir Mizmor Chanukah San Mizbeach. The main holiday was that they demolished the old Mizbeach and they built a new Mizbeach, because the old Mizbeach was contaminated because they offered idols, they worshipped idols, the Yevonim worshipped idols. So what is it? Is it about, is the miracle about the Menorah? Is it about the Mizbeach? Or is it about the war? There was a Muhammad. What is it all about? So let's take the war out for one moment. The reason why we focus on the Mizbeach is because where did they get fire to light, to kindle the Nerois of the Menorah? When they struck a match, then a lighter, the coin walked in with the coin into the room with a lighter. How did the Kohen light kindle the menorah? Where did he get a light? He got the light from the Mizbeach. Then when they built Oz, the miracle of Chanukah could not happen unless they sanctified the source of light. The menorah was kindled, but the menorah had to be ignited from the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has to be pure. When you're offering pure sacrifices, they light the fire. They take off the Mizbeach, will kindle a light on the menorah that will last forever, will be miraculous. This miracle happened every single day, but it wasn't appreciated because it was routine. It was routine. When did it become a big celebration? When for 50 years, we think we're in a lot of trouble, right? Now it's day 87. Do you know that today is day 87 of Corona? Today is day 87 since the city shut down. Day 87. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Chanukah, they shut down for 52 years. There was nothing going on. Okay, they were sheltered in place for 52 years. That's pretty serious. Not 87 days, 52 years sheltered in place. So when they opened up for the first time, wow, miracle. They appreciate the miracle, but the truth is the miracle of Chanukah happened every single day. It just wasn't appreciated. When you say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid, this is the Mizmor of Chanukah. Because the etzem is, Chanukah really is every single day. The Ner Maravi, this is the Makor of the Mizbeach, the Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid. This is the Mizmor that talks about the Mizbeach. But the Chanukah Sabayis is referring to Mizbeach and to Chazal. It's Chanukah. To appreciate that there are nisim that happen in the Malam Midrash HaTeva. All right, we have to stop here. Mirtz Hashem will continue next week, next Thursday. Have a wonderful evening. Hopefully, by then, by tomorrow, I got to figure out a solution to all my problems. All of my problems are internet connection problems. Everything else is good. For some reason, I have a very, very big problem.
Good signal in all of these bizarre locations that I find myself.
Now you're coming in good.
Perfect.
Now it's perfect.
Now that it's over, right?
Good. I get to know.
All right. Be well, Rabbi Sai.
Good. I get to know. Mark, good morning.
Larry, have a good Monday. Evening.
You too. Zagizin. I get to know.
Good night. Shalom.
Good night, Larry.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Rabbi Fryim.
Yeah.
Ima to everyone. Thank you. Who's Ima?
You have to have a makam kavua for your equipment.
You're right.
When you move them around, you're getting all kinds of who knows what.
Rabbi Levine.
Yeah.
I'll be Friday and Monday. Friday I'm taking tomorrow my mother-in-law up to Manhattan for a doctor, and Monday Brenda's going to the doctor. So you might see me, you might not. If I have time, I'll tune in.
All right. Thank you for telling me. Thank you.
Amen. You too, Mayor. Send regards to Samantha. And
I did. I saw it today.
I know. You told me you went to NYU. You saw what?
Audrey. I also saw Audrey.
I don't forget about Audrey. Stick to Samantha. Don't start trouble. Have a good night, everybody. Have a good Shabbos.
Audrey happens to be better than the doctor, you know? She's a nurse for 30 years, and she tells him what to do.
Okay. All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Take care, Brother V. Have a good year.
I heard I missed a very